This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Excellent. The head writer for The Stern Show for over 15 years. He's an author of books, songs, and jokes, of course. An actor, and his famous buddy is a Willie, Jackie the Joke Man Martling. It's a pleasure to have you on, Jackie. How are you?
I appreciate it very much. And, you know, people always, they see my documentary and like, wow, you're like Forrest Gump. You got some kind of connection to so many different people. Like, me and Willie Nelson been exchanging jokes via email for like 20 years. And it's really funny. And then they said, all right, you're going to do an interview with the Shaquille O'Neal's media company or whatever it is. And I actually have a connection to him, which is crazy. In the early 2000s, I did joke toys and joke machines and, you know, joke comedy calculators and an insult mirror. I did all this stuff for Excalibur Electronics. And Shaq was one of their guys. Like, his whatever products he had with them were right next to mine. And they actually had a full life-size cardboard cutout of Shaq. And, I mean, I was standing next to it. You know, of course, he's 3 feet taller than me. And they also had a bronze sneaker of his, which to this day, it's impossible to explain to people how huge his foot is. And it's so funny. And I said, yeah, I got a connection to Shaquille O'Neal. That's funny, you know.
We're sitting here looking at one of the cardboard cutouts right now. We got the 7'1", size 22 cardboard cutout that's staring me at the eye right here in the studio. Probably the same one you saw back in the day.
So, you know, I'm not making it up. Sometimes when I tell that, people roll their eyes like, oh, here goes Jackie with another one of his stories, you know.
I must say, Jackie, I started watching this documentary, which, by the way, it's out today, and you can check it out by going to jokemanmovie.com. I only got through the first 20 or 30 minutes, then I had to jump on the call with you, but I realized you're talking about everything. I mean, I didn't realize you dealt with so much death as a kid and the substance abuse in the family, and then you having to laugh it off, and then the years with Howard, the Michigan State. You really dive deep into this documentary. You tell the whole story, and I haven't even gotten through the whole thing.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's all true stuff. And, you know, the truth of it is I haven't been through any more or less than anybody else. Just when you put it out there like that, it, like, kind of comes at you rapid fire. But it's a nice tale, and it's got a happy ending, and such an eclectic cast, you know, Mark Cuban and Sean Young and Artie Lang, and, you know, the people come from all different walks of life. And, of course, you know, to have Penn Jillette was a thrill, and to have Willie Nelson, of course, you know, me and Willie wound up on his bus smoking pot lots of times, and he's just a delightful character. I mean, he is what you see, you know. And so doing the documentary, my pal Ian Carr, that I had a radio show with for 8 years, he said, you know what, I really want to do a documentary on you. He has a great production company. He's been doing stuff for networks for like 30 years. And he said, I really want to tell the tale, not just the Howard Stern Show, but the jokes and your life and everything. And there's nothing more flattering than that, you know. And he just took the ball and ran with it. And I'm just so thrilled with the result. And after all this time, it's, you know, it was ready to go, and then the pandemic hit, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But my God, today's the day. It's out, and, you know, we're celebrating. I might even have an extra cup of coffee.
Hey, congratulations. And we talk about flattering. The one thing I learned early in this documentary is, I didn't realize this either, Jackie, that how are in your high school superlatives that you're funniest, you're cutest, your most dramatic? I thought you could only win one, but in your high school, Oyster Bay, you must have been running shit out there, Jackie. You were, know, the triple crown winner.
Yeah, people think I edited the yearbook, you know, and the truth is there was one of them that I tied with the girl, and they said, we got to give it to her because you already have too many of them. I don't know, maybe it was wittiest or funniest. One of them they actually took away from me because I already had four or five, whatever. And truth be told, there was only like six people in the whole high school. So, you know,
okay, now it makes sense. I also found out, Jackie, that you were a gymnast and an athlete younger. And then as I'm doing the research, I see you sign your big deal with Howard in 1986. And I got to believe a kid growing up on Long Island in 86, all I can think about is the Mets. So is there any synergy there with you being an athlete, 1986 signing your big deal, and the Mets winning the World Series? How was 86 for you, Jackie?
Well, 86 was fantastic for me because I decided to quit being on the road as a comedian, which freed me up to go full-time on the Howard Stern Show. But I always disappoint people because I am not a Met fan, and not that I don't like them. And people say, how could you be from Long Island and not be a Met fan? I say, it's very simple. There was no such thing as the Mets when I was growing up. When I was growing up, I could have told you the batting average and the numbers of every Yankee on the lineup, and my father had a political job, so we went to the World Series almost every year in the 50s. There were no Mets until 1962, and the Mets came into the baseball scene just as I had discovered girls. And, you know, the baseball glove and the baseball bat go in the trunk to make room for the girl to get in the front seat. And, you know, that kind of took over. So the Mets weren't a big deal to me, you know. So I know that was a big year for the Mets, and it was wonderful, you know. And they, of course, you know, in my family, you know, we got the Yankee fans and Met fans and the arguments rage, and it's all fun. It's all wonderful fun.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, you've lived some kind of life, Jackie, and I really respect that you are a musician as well, because I do radio, but I also produce music. I'm not the greatest guitar player or the greatest drummer, but I can play a little lick, and it was great to see that you can jam on the old guitar and used to do all those comedy albums. Could you tell us about Going Ape? I think that was one of your first albums. Do you remember recording that?
Well, we started comedy on Long Island in 1979. There were no comedy clubs, and there was a little variety showcase, and it really wasn't, the guy wasn't paying us, and that's where Eddie Murphy worked, but Eddie Murphy was there, and Bob Nelson, and Rob Bartlett, and me and a bunch of guys. So we found a restaurant that would let us do comedy there, and we said, we'll take the door, and you can have all the drinks, and we started the first comedy show on Long Island, and we charged to get in, and we kept all the money, and I used to record all my shows on a cassette recorder. And I would have my voice going into one side and the crowd going into the other side. And I mixed that onto a reel-to-reel. And I made my first comedy album 6 months after I had become a comedian. And I just made albums. And I knew how to do that because I had worked in a recording studio in the 70s and recorded a couple of songs. Howard Stern used to play my songs into the ground on the radio and make fun of them, but people wound up liking them, and then I just segued into just doing the jokes, and it's just the way it flowed, you know, just the way it flowed.
So you've really been producing content long before kids, all this TikTok stuff and social media and streaming documentaries. The new documentary is called Joke Man. It's streaming everywhere. Just talk into your phone and find it, or go to Joke Man Movie. .com. But if you could go back, Jackie, having all the knowledge that you have today, and you were to go talk to the kid that was making Going Ape, how old were you when you were recording those albums on Long Island?
Well, when I gave up music and started comedy, I put the pin in the map as January 1979, and my first album was called What Did You Expect? And I collected money from a bunch of different people, and the cover is literally my eighth grade class picture where I'm flipping the bird which is itself hard to believe. And then the next album I made was called Going Ape, and I literally went to a costume shop and said, I have no money, but if you'll loan me your gorilla costume, I'll give you a plug on my album. And they had no idea what I was talking about. And me and a buddy, I was like, by then I was 32 years old, and we smuggled in paper bag. We took the gorilla costume into the Bronx Zoo, and I went behind a tree and put on a gorilla suit. And I was jumping out and scaring kids in a gorilla suit, I mean, if you could possibly imagine. And those
crazy.
Are the pictures. And that was recorded at the East Side Comedy Club in 1980. That's the album I was making. And I was hanging the microphones, and Eddie Murphy came up to me and said, Jack, you're making another album? And I said, yeah. He said, Jack, I want to have an album. And I said, well, Eddie, I'm too busy.
I heard about that story.
Famous last words.
He did all right, though, Jackie. He ended up doing all right. But
yeah.
if you could take... If you could take the guy that was produced, you are now the man that was the executive producer and working on this Joke Man new documentary, knowing everything you know now, if you could go back and talk to the young man that was producing Going Ape, what kind of advice would you give that younger Jackie that maybe would have helped him along the way?
I would just say, just keep doing exactly what you're doing. I wouldn't change a thing. You know, people, if I had a chance, I would start from square one. My whole life, I would live it all again. I wouldn't mind it being exactly how it was. You know, the ups, the downs, the craziness, the rewards, the sadness. You know, it's all been a great, great stew. And I would tell him, you don't give up. But I never did give up. You know, one step forward, two steps backwards, and you just keep going. It's that simple.
Sound advice. And then how much of your success do you think, Jackie, is talent as opposed to how much of it was hard work? Because from everything I've seen, you work really hard to be the famous Jackie the Joke Man that we see today.
You know, I think it's equal parts hard work and talent and luck. You know, Edison said, you know, 1% perspiration, 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. You know, no matter how good you are or smart or how creative, it takes so much to do stuff and complete stuff and get it out there. And it's very easy to give up, and you just don't. You know, you just forge ahead. And I think hard work had, you know, almost everything to do with it, you know?
And we all know the story that you asked your boss for more money. He said no, and he didn't give it to you. And at that point, you must have been putting in a lot of work to feel like you deserved more. What were your day-to-day operations on the show? I know you did a lot of the writing, but to say, hey, I need more money, I'm busting my ass over here, you had to have been doing a lot. What were some of those things you were doing on the show?
No, that wasn't it at all. I wasn't working any harder or less hard. What I actually did was very simple. I would show up at 6 o'clock in the morning and sit down in my chair and take a Sharpie and a pile of paper, and I'd just write lines for Howard from the beginning to the end of the show, and then for the most part go home afterwards, unless we're working on a TV show. And as the years went on, we did less and less meetings because it was just such a finely tuned operation. But the truth of it is, I had been there from the onset, and the success of the show was mercurial. The show went to Pluto, and it was literally printing money, and I just didn't think he was generous enough. You know, I can't speak for anybody else, but I know I had been there from the beginning, and I thought I should have been cut in more. But I was also pretty fried after 15 years of morning radio. Anybody that's ever done that, they know that it really, really takes a toll. So it's a weird thing to go back and say, I wish this, I wish that. You know, getting off the show probably saved my life. I was shot, you know, just running myself ragged.
You also,
but it's weird. You know, you can second guess yourself all day, you know?
You also said that the Stern Show saved your life, though, because morning radio, you being the drunk, I mean, for lack of better words, you've said it before. You were a drunk, and this job saved your life because getting up early in the morning, you can't really be a drunk. So is that true? This job saved your life?
people always, and this has always been a raging debate, because I was never a guy that woke up in the morning and needed a drink or any of that. I was a social drinker, but God damn, I really could social drink. And like you say, you can't stay out and get drunk when you have to get up at 20 minutes after 4 in the morning. So, yeah, that God knows what that did. Whether I would have quit drinking or gone right into the toilet, who'll ever know? But it was great. And I still found plenty of time to drink. So it was a whole interesting ride, just an interesting ride from beginning to end, you know?
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're talking to the comedy legend Jackie the Joke Man Martling. Of course, his new movie, new documentary, available wherever you can stream it at jokemanmovie.com. We'll have all the information. It was great to see Artie Lang in this documentary. He's in the film. He doesn't look like himself. I'm just being honest. It looks like a lot of the partying took a toll on him, but he seemed to be speaking with a clear head, and that was good to see. Tell me how Artie's doing.
He's doing great. He's all cleaned up. He's taking care of himself. It's so funny because he wanted to be in the documentary, and just it was hard to hook up with him. And just when Ian Carr, the producer, was about to get in touch, had an actual date, Artie got in trouble, and he wound up in jail and wound up in hospital and wound up in rehab. But the documentary took so long to get finished that Artie was out and cleaned up and back in great shape, and the documentary wasn't done. So Ian got to go over and interview him. And, like, Artie's interview was one of the highlights of the documentary for me, because he was just so generous, and he's such a good guy, and he's so funny. And I really, really appreciate him. You know, I mean, he did the forward to my autobiography. He's just a good guy, a real good guy, and I can't say enough about him. And I'm so thrilled to say he's taking care of himself and he's in really good shape right now.
Yeah, go check out the documentary. It's jokemanmovie.com. I would like to play a little game, if you don't mind. I know you have that mathematic mind, Stump the Joke Man. I just have a few jokes here to see if maybe I, you know, that the old man still got it. Do you mind playing the little game?
Well, I'll tell you what, if I don't know the joke, I will send you and I Stump Jackie the Joke Man t-shirt. How's that
okay,
sound?
Fantastic. Here we go. What do you call a female turtle?
A clitortoise.
Yes, you got that one. Okay. What three words don't you...
You know what? I might have even written that one 40 years ago. I'm not even sure.
What three words don't you want to hear when you're making love?
Is it in?
That works. Or, honey, I'm home.
That's one of those jokes where, you know, somebody asks me that, and I give one answer, and they say, you're wrong, it's the other answer, and both of them are equally...
Yeah, they're both right, so that's a winner for you. What's the difference between a refrigerator and a homosexual?
In the 40 years that I've been playing this game, there are two jokes that I've been asked by a factor of 20 more than any other joke. And it's that one, and can you even say that on your show?
You can say it on my show if you want. I mean, it was in your documentary, so I figured it was a layup for you.
Well, no, of course, you know, the refrigerator doesn't fart when you take the meat out.
That's a good one. All right, one final one for the joke, man. I tried to sneak one by him, but the slider doesn't work, the curveball doesn't work, the fastball doesn't work. Now I'm going to throw you a spitball. Here we go.
All right.
Why did the Mexican's wife jump off the bridge?
Tequila.
You got it. I can't stump him. I don't know if I set that one up completely.
You didn't even know. You told her wrong. Why did the Mexican throw his wife off the cliff? She didn't jump. He threw her.
Tequila. Yes, my buddy told me that one, and I butchered it,
tequila.
So I apologize. But I'm glad you played along with us. Any chance that you're going to get on Howard to promote this new movie? Have you reached out to Gary?
No, I'm sure not, but you never know. You know, they say he's a completely new person now. For all I know, he might get magnanimous and say, you know what, let's bring Jackie in here and have a conversation. That's not going to happen, but the truth of it is it could. You know, all he'd have to do is, you know, like, you know, Frank Sinatra saves Shaky Green's life. You know that story, right?
I don't know the story. Please tell.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra saved Shaky Green's life. Yeah. Two thugs were beating the hell out of Shecky Green, and Frank said, "That's enough."
Oh, man.
So he's in control, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we'll start a thing. All you Stern fans, go out there and make sure you hit up Gary and Howard and tell them they need to have Jackie on to promote the new documentary, JokeManMovie.com. And then people want to know, I know you're close with Willie Nelson. One, is he still smoking weed? Is he still burning at his age? And how is Willie?
He is such a delight. He just turned 90. He's not smoking pot. I think once in a while he has a hit off his electronic pipe. But he's, you know, he's old and his lungs are shot. I mean, he's 90. I mean, he's still doing concerts and he's out there kicking ass. And, you know, to watch him on stage, he might as well be 60, you know. I'm real good friends with him and Amy, his daughter, and his ex-wife, Connie. They're just the greatest people in the world. I can't say enough nice things about him. He's been very good to me and generous in every way. You know, promoted my stuff, promoted my radio show. You know, he's just a good, good character. And he's done so much for so many people. He's just a delight.
Well, you've been very generous with your time, Jackie. Thank you so much for coming on. Make sure everybody go to the website, JokeManMovie.com, and stream this new documentary. A lot of great stories, and you tell it all, and you did a fantastic job. And I'm a huge fan. Comedy legend Jackie the Joke Man joining us here on the show. Thank you.
I always tell people I would love to hear from people, and I give out my email address. It's jokeland@AOL.com, J-O-K-E-L-A-N-D. @AOL.com, and if you do me a favor, just tell Shaq, I've never met him, but tell him I'd love to, and I'm a huge fan, and that I love him for all the stuff that he's done, okay?
I will let him know, and thank you for coming on, man. We appreciate all your support of what we do, and we support you, and hopefully we'll see you at a comedy club soon. I see you're still getting out and doing dates, so go to the website and see if you can't see Jackie doing his stand-up, because you're still making it happen.
I'm still going out there and doing it and telling my jokes and playing Stump the Joke Man and selling my shirts and my books. And, I just love it. You know, I see no reason to stop. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're a huge inspiration to a radio guy like me, you know, to just keep, like you said, don't quit. Just keep pushing and keep entertaining and keep creating. And if they don't like it, fuck them. Ain't that right, Jackie?
There you go. It's that simple. That simple.
All right. God bless you, pal. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.